As you look around, sometimes I very seldom put anything on, but I'll look on Facebook, see if somebody's saying something to me or something. And you know, I have noticed that there's a lot of people that used to maintain their faith in God seems to be going the other direction. Anybody ever noticed that but me? You know, some of them that used to be really strong seem like they're sort of drifting off. You know, it's important, especially in times of crisis, that we hold on to our faith. You know, Hebrews, it tells us, cast not away your confidence. You know, the Apostle Paul warned us about this, though. He said in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. The Good News Bible says it like this. The Spirit says clearly that some people will abandon the faith in latter times. They will obey lying spirits and follow teachings of demons. We don't have to look very far to realize this is happening right now. Many people are being deceived by many that are quoting the Word of God, but they're twisting it. You know, the devil quoted the word to Jesus, but, you know, the devil can quote the word, but he always curves it where it's not the real truth. And we need to look at a question that Jesus asked in Luke 18:8. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? You know, will Jesus find people that still believe? Will he find those that still believe? Mark 11:23? Actually, 24? Every one of us got to answer this ourselves. Nobody can answer it for you. You know, previous generation can't speak for you. You know, my dad can't speak for me. Only I can speak for me. I can't speak for my kids, my grandkids. You know, when I was small, now, dad would believe for me. But there come a day whenever I had to start believing for myself. And you see, too many Christians sometimes, they want somebody else to do their praying and their believing for them. But in your Christian walk, it's just like our natural human walk. You know, when my kids were small, and even my grandboys, and they come over that, they were small and they wanted a drink or something, I'd go get it for them. But when they got to a certain age, I said, hey, the refrigerator's in there. You want it? Go get it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know what? God expects us to do the same thing as we grow in our spiritual growth. There comes a point whenever we got to start believing for ourselves. In difficult times, we can't afford to abandon what has got us to where we are today. Many people, I said something to one guy it's been a while back now. Sometimes my years run together, you know, but it's been a while back. I said to him, you need to stay with what got you where you are, because he was starting to, you know, to get off into some other stuff. And well, we need some more revelation. We need a new doctrine. I said, you don't need nothing but the Bible. You know, too many people are searching for something new all the time. Just stay with what the Bible is. If you read the Bible enough, you'll get something new. In fact, as you continue to read you can read the same scriptures, but if you'll read it with an open heart, the Holy Spirit will show you something different. I don't know how many times I've read different scriptures and I'd be reading it, and all of a sudden, well, why haven't I seen that before? Well, as my dad used to say, I asked him one day, he said, you weren't ready to see that before, but because you continued to study, you put yourself in a position, now you're ready to receive that. Have you ever noticed sometimes people that are not spiritually mature, they try to get a hold of something that's a little bit too deep for them and it puts them off at the deep end? Now we ought to go back and realize that our spiritual growth is like our natural growth. As we're growing up, there are certain things that you don't eat until you're a little bit older. Hello? You know, before you have any teeth, you can't eat no steak. How many of you have ever had a pet, like a dog? I like dogs. I have dogs. You know, when you first get them, you usually get them about 8 weeks old or, a couple months old, you know. And you have to start feeding them puppy food. And then you put them into another fight. Hey, we do that as adults, but yet sometimes we don't understand that we need to do the same thing with our spiritual walk. Don't look at me like you think I fell out of a tree. I did, but I didn't hit my head. See, we need to just grow with God every day. Get a hold of those little books back there that Dad had put together, the faith food, we call it. I mean, you know, they're devotional, just short. Anybody got those? They're a tremendous help each day. Gives you a confession to start the day off with. Come on now. You know, Jesus had to encourage John the Baptist. You know, he's in prison. And when he first saw Jesus, he blurted out, look, there's the Lamb of God. Now he's in prison. Stuff not going right. He sent two of his disciples to ask him, hey, are you really the Messiah? We need to look for another one. Come on now. If even John the Baptist could get off track, then we need to realize we can too. And, you know, he was in prison. And now he is questioning. Man, there are many people that are in different kinds of prisons. Some people in the prison of sickness and disease. Some people in the prison of poverty and lack. Some people in the prison of fear and depression. Some people in the prison of rejection and shame, guilt and unforgiveness. Some people are in the prison of circumstances caused by various things in their life. Some people are in prison of tradition. And other people in the prison of their own thoughts and their own thinking. That's not in line to the Word of God. You know, some people think if you start living for God and have this life of faith, it's a ride down easy street. Wrong. Then if it's not a ride down easy street and the enemy is coming after us, how do we deal with the enemy when he comes after us? By using our faith in what the Word of God tells us. A fellow by the name of Abraham, that we're all familiar with, I think. Most of you know who Abraham was? Yeah. I got part of the church raised their hand. The rest of them are sitting there saying, well, do I want to raise my hand or not? I know who he is, but I don't know why I want to raise my hand or not. I'm not going to ask that again because everybody would raise their hand then, you know. You know, some people just don't want to do anything. Like the old man in the church, and the pastor asked him, how many want to go to heaven? And everybody in the whole church raised their hand but him. And the pastor said, listen, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yeah, I do, but I thought you was getting up a load for right now. In Hebrews 11:8, it says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave his home, go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance, and he went without knowing where he was going. See, that's the reason sometimes some people don't step in faith, because they can't see where the final destination is. Abraham took off following God because God said go. He believed God and he went. He didn't even know where he's going. Come on now. If you're going to, sometimes you have to take the word of God and take what I call a leap of faith. As my father used to say, step out over the aching void of nothingness, but nothing under your feet but the word of God. Any of you ever heard him say that? I know most of them in this congregation have. Yeah. You see, now, in Abraham's life, man, he had all kinds of opportunities to quit and abandon faith. You know, you ever stop to think about it? His nephew, Lot, was self-centered, greedy, ungrateful, and Abraham was always having to bail him out. Anybody read that over there? Read the stories over? Yeah. They was choosing up the land, and Abraham said, okay, what do you want? Lot took the best, left the junk for Abraham, and yet Abraham prospered more than he did. Abraham had to go rescue him from the kings that had taken him captive. Abraham got in trouble because his own wife gave him bad advice. He had to deal with famine and difficulty. Yet Abraham didn't give up. He was determined to believe God, what God had promised was going to come to pass. You know, we'll come through every difficulty. We'll come through every circumstance. We'll come through every situation if we'll determine to hold on to our faith in the Word of God, in what God said. You got to come back to the point that I got from my dad, and I say it all the time. He used to say it, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Now, a lot of people say, well, God said it, I believe it. But they don't get to that settles it. When you put that settles it, that means there is nothing that's going to change your mind. Nothing that's going to change your mind. You know, it's sort of a trait of our family, the Hagans anyway. Dig our feet in and that's it. And one of the grandsons one day, his mom said to him, said, hey, you sure are stubborn. And he was real young, and he said, well, what's that mean? She said, well, that means whenever you set your heart to do something, nothing gonna stop you. He said, yeah, I got a lot of stubborn. That was one of my grandsons. But you know, the problem was, that's sort of like I am. Ask my wife. Once I set my course, that's it. I mean, with God, in the natural, on the ball field, wherever it is. You're not gonna stop me. That's the type of attitude we all have to get a hold of with our faith in God and what this word says, and just that's it. I don't have the words in articulate speech to try to get a hold of you what I'm trying to tell. But if you're gonna stand strong in faith, you gotta get that attitude. That attitude, I will not quit, and I can't be defeated because I'm not gonna quit. Come on now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, too many times in we go along, everything going pretty good, everything, and then all of a sudden the devil hits us and we wonder why our faith is weak. Our faith is weak is because in the good times we hadn't been keeping it up. Sometimes it's only in the bad times that people start opening their Bible and reading the Word of God. You know, it takes faith to get through the difficult times. It takes faith to live victoriously. I'm talking about faith in what God said, faith in the Word of God, what the Word says. Of course, my dad, you'd ask him about a situation. He said, what does the Bible say? What does the Word say, son? What does the Word say? See, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:9, cling to your faith in Christ. Keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. You know, you have to, you got to make up your mind. I'm not going to get shipwrecked. Come on. Anybody understand where I'm coming from this morning? Anybody understand why I am so hammering on this morning? Because we're in situations that we are going to have to stand our ground on the Word of God, no matter what's happening around us, no matter who's giving up, no matter who's quitting, no matter who's throwing in the towel. And that comes from you that don't realize it, that comes from the boxing ring. If they saw that their fighter was getting hurt, they could throw a towel in the ring and it's all over. Hey, there's some people that they're in the middle of the battle. They thrown in the towel. Just because you get knocked down is no sign you can't win the fight. You know, I remember one time I guess junior in high school, I think. And we was in PE class, and so we was doing boxing. So he paired us all up, tried to pair us up, you know, by our weight and our abilities and so forth. And he had me with this one guy. And so, you know, my cousin, George, he had fought in the Golden Gloves there in Dallas. And I sparred around a little bit with him. And Uncle Dub, he taught me and George how to fight. Because George was named after him. His name, we called him Dub, but his name was George Wayne Hagen. And my name is Kenneth Wayne Hagen. And so his name was George Irvin Hagen. So he's named after Daddy and Uncle Dub, and I'm named after Daddy and Uncle Dub. So that's who we are. And so I'm messing around, you know, doing a few little do's this, that, and other. And he caught me with a good one and knocked me backwards. And the guys in the class said, Hagen, said, you come back, and they said he hit you 4 or 5 more times, and you just kept swinging until you knocked him out. They said, we thought he hit you, and it didn't look like it faze you. You just kept coming. I said, he hit you with as hard a punch that knocked you backwards that first time, but he said, this time he hit you harder, you still kept coming. Until you see, that's what you got to do. I told that story, so that's what you got to do with the enemy. You got to keep coming with the Word of God coming out of your mouth. Somebody said, well, God is in control of everything. Well, which God you talking about? You talking about the God of this world, or you talking about the God Most High? See, the god of this world, according to what Paul says there in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the devil is the god of this world. We have to use our faith to move the god of this world out of our lives. See, you know, Raymond's not here because I sat down and passively waited for something to happen. Raymond's here because I took a hold of what needed to, Lynette and I took a hold of what needed to be done in the natural and then applied the supernatural. Rhema Bible Church is here. Not because I said it was going to happen. It's here because that I stood my ground in the face of many obstacles. In fact, when we built this building, there wasn't one like it anywhere in the world. It was state of the art. People said it couldn't be done. I said, yes, it can. They said you couldn't build that globe up there. And I said, yes, you can. See, you've got to believe that you can do what the Word of God says you can do. You've got to believe you can receive what the Word of God says you can receive before you're ever going to get it. You got to believe you can do it. If you're playing baseball, there's just leave your bat in the rack unless you believe, because that guy there, he's throwing 100 miles an hour, throwing 102 miles an hour. You got, when you walk up there with that bat in your hand and you take your stance and you get in there and you get your stance, there's no use you even getting in the batter's box if you don't believe you can hit him. Well, I think I'll try. I might be able to. Maybe he'll let up a little bit and I get, hey, you can forget it. You ain't going to hit nothing. See, that's the way some people approach the problems in life. You got to come with the Word of God coming out of your mouth and swinging for the fence. God said this, Mr. Devil. God said this, Mr. Devil. Quoted the Word of God to him. Tell him what the Word says. Tell him you can't throw anything at me that I can't come back at you with the Word. Stand strong in your faith. You have to make a decision to hold on to your faith. No one can make that decision for you. You got to make it for yourself. Some people say, well, so-and-so told me that if I'd quote these scriptures, baloney. They don't believe nothing. You don't quote a scripture because so-and-so told you to quote a scripture. You quote that scripture because you believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth. You know, everyone has to do it for themselves. I can't believe God for you. You can't believe God for me. I can't believe God for my kids and my grandkids, my family. They got to believe God for themselves. You know, I was 15, had that ear problem. I'm not going to tell the whole story. And Dad told me he'd pray for me. I didn't get nothing. So he had been praying about it, and he came back off of 12 weeks he'd been out on the East Coast preaching. He came back to Texas and he said, son, if you're going to get healed, you're going to have to get healed on your own faith. He said, for 15 years, I believed for you. So I was praying and God told me, said, he's heard you preach more messages than most people have. He's grown up in this house where you talk about faith, you live by faith. He knows how to believe God. If he's going to get his healing, he's going to have to do it himself. Well, we knelt down to pray there in the living room. And I didn't say nothing. I said, you going to pray? He said, no, I'm not going to pray. It ain't me that needs something. So I prayed my own prayer according to Mark 11:23-24 about this ear condition. I got my own healing. That's when I realized that every one of us have to start at some point in our Christian walk. I don't know when it will be for you, but at some point in your Christian walk, you're going to have to start believing God for yourself. Baby Christians, you can help along and you can believe, because just like a baby in the natural, you can help it along. But once it gets to a certain point, it has to start. You can't help it walk. It has to learn to walk itself. Right? Come on now. Anybody getting in out of this? No matter what happens. I said no matter what happens. I said no matter what happens, you stand strong in your faith. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Now, Peter here is trying to, because that's one of his tricks, trying to tell you that nobody's ever faced anything like this. You're the only one. Peter tells us that, hey, the rest of the believers, they're going through the same thing. It says, watch out for the devil. He goes around seeking whom he may devour. The other night, I was scrolling, and I think it's Animal Kingdom. Anyway, they were showing these animals, and they had a lion there, and how that it would follow a herd of antelope or springbok or whatever it was, and it wouldn't attack the herd. It was waiting until there was a straggler that wasn't up with the rest of the herd. And that's when, that's what he's doing. He's going around seeking those he may devour. He can't devour you if you're strong in church, if you're giving, if you're coming and praising God, if you're living right and with your other fellow believers. He can't come after you, but he's going to come after you when you start straggling back. Quit reading the word. Start going to church whenever you want to, instead of when the doors are open, you should be here. Hello. Come on now. See, he will try to get you to give up. He'll feed you lies from other people will come and talk to you and tell you, well, hey, now I know you believe in God, but that ain't going to happen this time. And I'll tell you, you know what? You start believing God for some sickness, and somebody comes over there and says, yeah, my Aunt Zuli had that, and she died. Come on now. Anybody ever heard of that before? Yeah, yeah. I hope that ain't somebody's name. I'm sorry if it is. I just pulled something out of the hat. Okay. When the enemy tries to tell you your faith isn't working, because you see, one of his great tricks is that if it don't happen immediately, he'd start to say, well, your faith's not working this time. See, it only works part of the time. This time it ain't going to work for you. Why don't you just forget it? Come on, that's what he likes to do. Don't look at me like that. Every one of you had him come to you and tell you the same thing. That's where you got to dig your feet in the ground and say, Mr. Devil, I want to tell you something. You are not going to separate me from my faith. In the Johnson paraphrase of that Mark 11:23, it says, if you don't become separated from what you say, you'll have what you say. But I've been with people, one day they're hollering, woo, hallelujah, praise God. Mark 11:23 says, blah, blah. And I see them a couple of days later, they're walking around and they're about to step on their bottom lip. They're so sad. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever seen people like that? That's what the Word of God is talking about. It said, don't waver. There in James, he said, don't waver. You can't be here today and here tomorrow and here today and here last week. You got to be consistent. See, a lot of people, it's easy to believe God when everything's going good. It's easy to quote the Word of God when you got money in your pocket. It's easy to quote the Word of God when you feel good. But when you don't feel good and you don't have money in your pocket, that's when you got to quote the Word of God, when you don't feel like it. When the devil telling you it ain't going to happen. It isn't going to happen, I guess I should say. But anyway, that's when you've got to dig your feet in the ground and say, God said it, I believe it, the Word of God says this, and tell him what the Word says. No, don't tell him what you think. Don't tell him what Brother so-and-so said. Tell him what the Bible said. That's what counts, what the Word says. The Word. You need to get a hold of that, in fact. Come on. Being strong in faith. Our families depend on us to be strong in faith. Others around us depend on us to be strong in faith. It's our strong faith that keeps them safe. Come on now. When I hear a tornado's coming, I begin to pray for my neighborhood. Come on. My faith can help protect my neighbors. Come on now. Y'all understand where I'm coming from. I don't know about y'all. I done got me happy. Praise God. God's Word said it. It works. I believe it. I've lived by it. For 81 years now, I've lived by it. And I'm not about to stop now. You come too late to tell me it don't work. I've lived with it all my life. I was born in the house of the man that they say is the modern day prophet of faith. I don't know whether he is or not. He said he wasn't. He said he just saying what God said. But I'm going to tell you what, I have watched it work all these years, and it's still working today, and it'll work tomorrow, and it'll work the next day, and it'll work next month, and it'll work next year. You can't swing back and forth here to here, to here to here. You've got to stay with the truth of God's Word, declaring the fact that when Jesus comes back, if I'm still here, he's going to find faith on the earth. It's up to you. It ain't up to me. Don't throw away your faith. Lay hold on the only thing that's going to bring you victory. You know, the old song used to say, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up, let me stand by faith on Canaan's table land. See, hey, everybody need to realize, Canaan's land for us is the Word of God. All the promises in the Word of God, that's our Canaan land, that's our promised land. It said here, a higher plane than I found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You should be quoting the Word of God every day. And today, you're at this level. But tomorrow, you're at another level. And the next day, you're at another level. And the next day, you're at another level. And next year, you're higher than you've ever been before. And the next year, you're higher than you've ever been before. Why? Because of the faith you have in God's Word. I want you to get a hold of the fact that you have got to boldly declare what God said. You've got to boldly speak the Word and let the Word of God drive out your sickness. Let the Word of God drive out your poverty. Let the Word of God keep you and protect you from all harm and all danger, because the Word is the only thing that's going to keep you in this hour. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus. Stand up, everybody. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God for the Word.
Thank him for the word. Thank him for the word. Thank God for the word. Make your declaration today. Make your declaration today. I'm going to stand my ground in my faith. If Jesus comes back today or next year or the next 20 years, if I'm still here, make a determination that he'll find faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whatever you need, get it right now. It's faith is high in this place. Faith is high right now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Faith is high in this place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Grab a hold of it. Glory to God. What you got?
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win.
Hallelujah.
Why do we win? Because of what the word says. Everybody can say everything else differently, but the word says I win. The word says I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The word says I can't go under for going over. The word says I'm healed and whole. The word says all of my needs are met. The word says I'm protected. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it again. Sing it again.
No matter what the weapon is, no matter what the weapon is, I want you to know.
Saying there, weapon, but that means anything that the devil brings against you. There, it's just we use the term weapon. It can you can put whatever it is that's coming your way, whatever it is. No matter if it's sickness, no matter if it's poverty, no matter if it's lack, no matter if it's depression, no matter if it's rejection, no matter what the weapon is, I win. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to stir you up this morning. You know, we I know that's just a lesson on faith. You've heard many of them many times, but we need to be reminded sometimes. How many times did you go over and over the multiplication table? You went over and over it until it became such a part of you that it was automatic. You didn't have to think about it. That's what we've got to do with the word and faith. It's got to become such a part of us that it's automatic. When the enemy hits us, automatically out of our mouth comes the word. Glory to God. Well, I better hush. Amen. Bow your heads for just a moment. If there's anyone in this congregation that doesn't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you need to rededicate your life to God, I want you to just slip your hand up. I want to see who you are. If you're anywhere, anybody in here, anywhere. There's a hand here. Thank you. If you're watching us out there and you need to rededicate your life to God, or you need to accept Jesus Christ for the first time, we're going to pray a short prayer together. Oh, this congregation, along with yourselves, to repeat it after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he came, he lived, he died on the cross, he rose again for my salvation. You said if I would confess those things with my mouth and believe in my heart,
I would be saved. I confess them with my mouth. I believe them in my heart. And I thank you now that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of my life. And I am that new person in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer in this congregation, see one of these people in a blue shirt after the service. They'll get you some literature. If you're watching, go to your computer and email us at partnerservice@rhema.org and tell us about it, okay? Praise God. Hey, stay strong in faith. Don't let nothing, don't let nothing rob you of your blessing through believing God. Amen.